are a part of the family of God. Amen. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have believed that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. And I would say that's the best feature of anything I can say about my life, second to just being alive, is being saved. Amen. Because I think it would be a terrible thing to be alive and not be saved. Amen. It's a good thing my life has changed drastically since the time that I came to the knowledge of salvation, that God loves me and he loves you just like you are. And he did something about the problem that we have of not being saved. And so that's what we call the gospel, the good news that God gave his son to deliver us from the curse of the law. Amen. And so we've been talking about how that fits with us as being members of the family. And you and I are in a similar family because we have trusted Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have not made that step, we also want to encourage you to take that step of faith today. Realize that there's nothing you can do by yourself to make yourself right with God, but the good news is God has done everything necessary for you to be right with him, and he only wants you to take a step of faith. And faith is to trust in what God has said and in what God has done. That's what faith is. As the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's Hebrews chapter 11. And then he goes on, that writer, to talk about how we embrace everything God has for us through the instrument of faith, which is a gift from God. The Bible teaches that faith is a gift from God. So if you have faith, it's something God has given you. That's why it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, that's something God gives you. Faith is a foreign thing that God gives you. He gives you the ability and the desire to trust in what he has provided for you. And so we're going to talk about that a little today and how that connects us as a family of believers. There's only two families in the whole world. Did you know that? And this helps me because sometimes I look at my own physical family and I think, okay, well, you know, you see a lot of brokenness a lot of times in homes and in families and things that are not desirable. Some people think that everything in their household has been perfect and all that. But as I look at mine, I see brokenness. I see all kinds of things. I see folks strung out. I see people who don't trust God. I see people living, flying by the seat of their pants. You see people, you wonder how they got where they are and in situations up and down and all kinds of things. So it makes me happy about knowing that there are just two families. There's God's family. And then there is the family of those who don't trust God. So that's really the two groups in the whole world. And God has defined himself for the whole world so that everyone can know how you can become a part of his family. And now the world twists that. The people who don't believe God, they twist it every which way. And so what God has given us to do as a church is to make clear what he requires for an individual to be a part of his family. Amen. So we're going to talk today just on a subject of walking, families walking in the courage of faith. Do you know you have to have great courage to walk by faith? You have to have courage, and we have to encourage one another to keep each other on the path because of the way things are in the world, some of those things we just talked about. But before we get too far into this, I'm going to ask the deacons to grab a microphone and come up and read for us a couple of passages, one from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The founding pastor of this church used to call it the Gospel of Isaiah, and I believe that as well, because he pronounces good news, and he gives prophecy about the coming Christ. And so he is one of the writers who writes about the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to also take a look at Peter, 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Verses 6 to 11, just a few verses. And so the deacons will share in that reading for us. And I want them to read directly into the mic so it can be heard very clearly in the sanctuary. Amen. They're going to read these for us at this time. Amen.
Why, saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord from the old covenant. And now for the reading of the New Testament, we'd like to ask whoever is going to read there, come up to the mic and let us hear you with 1 Peter chapter number 5.
Be diligent, because of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as we have said previously, we are speaking on the subject of families walking in the courage of faith. Amen. Faith, as the Bible says, is the medium by which we attach the things of God. The medium by which we understand the things of God. It's by faith. The writer to the Hebrews said, it's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, we embrace the creation based on the fact that God spoke and all things came into existence by faith. Something that gives our scientific people, supposedly today, a lot of trouble. They like to try to come up with other ways they think that things came into existence. But the people of God understand that that's way past our ability to really know. And so we just trust God. When we look at the fruit of what he made, it's easy to tell that there is a God. Because other things that people suggest are so ludicrous, I'm just going to go right straight to the core of it here. It's so ludicrous that you need more faith to believe what they said than you do to just believe that God created the heavens and the earth. You see, because you can see that it's the result of intense wisdom. Everything that's here, I look at the, so many things. Small things are fascinating to me. Human birth is an amazing thing. The human body is an amazing thing. Plants, anything you look at that was made by God is an amazing thing. It's just amazing that you can take a seed, a little bitty old seed, and throw it in the dirt, and a tree eventually will grow and produce apples or peaches. That's awesome to me. There's some science there that we don't really have a grip on. And so those kind of things, just even the birth of a child, that amazes me when I look at that and I see how children are born, carried about in their mother's womb, detached from her bloodstream for 9 months and then to be delivered with the breaking of the water and the coming forth of a new human life. That's awesome. All of that, the whole process of procreation is a fascinating thing. So many things, you can look at anything that you want to talk about and you'll find that it's very awesome. It blows the mind. And the scripture simply says that God spoke and all these things came into existence. So they take a far stretch of the imagination when they try to tell us other things like the Big Bang. They want to explain that. And you say, well, how did that happen and who caused it? Well, we don't have an answer for that. Okay, you keep going back and there's more and more stuff that you don't know because you just want to do all that to get around the fact that God spoke, as the Bible says, and things came into existence. But as we go through the world, we find a lot of things challenge what the scripture says. And yet the world, and this is as we said when we were praying earlier today, God configured the world around the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of what anyone says. If you go to Africa, it's 2016 in Africa. What does that mean? At 2016 years since Christ was born, that the world keeps time based on the coming of Christ. So we know it's not a myth, as some people like to try to dismiss Jesus and say he never existed. Well, why are we counting time based on when he came? If he didn't exist, why is your birth certificate based on his birth certificate? Why will your tombstone be based on his tombstone if you should live so long if he doesn't come back, which he said he would? When he left, he departed, promising to return. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again. He said, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, so he says, I'm coming back for those who believe and trust in me. And you know what? You have reason to believe him. I can kind of believe that when I see the fact that he was mauled and then crucified and laid into a tomb that he borrowed for 3 days from Joseph of Arimathea. And when the tomb was empty, that's the reason we preach him today. The fact that he got up out of the tomb shows that he is the only one in the history of humanity that has a viable solution for the problem of death, which is the penalty for sin. You know what? If we see death, the hearse wheels keep on rolling every day. They never cease. They're rolling all around the clock. We're in an interesting spot here where we're located here in Wellston, and we're just about to renovate the building on the front, on the outside. That's why you see a lot of markings out there, because we're planning to do a new face on the building. But I stand here so many days and watch the hearse go up and down Dr. King Drive, heading to the cemeteries just beyond us. There's quite a few of them. So we know that never ceases. I used to work in a hospital, and I would watch ambulance come and take people away if they didn't make it. I see some people come in the front door and go out the back door. Most of them came in the front door, got cured, and went back out the front door, which was a great thing. But some of them went out the back door, and the hearse wheels rolled on. And so we see that death has never stopped what it does. It keeps on going. It's about the worst thing we know about in life. But the only person we know that gives us a thread of hope about the situation of death is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, and he was intentionally mauled and mutilated, and yet he defeated the grave after 3 days and nights, just as he had promised. And we find that that was written in the scriptures generations before he came to fulfill what he is doing and what he did for us. And so faith in the resurrection is something that you and I can easily have, because basically if there is no resurrection, there's nothing to preach. But we have plenty to preach today, and that's why I want to talk with you, that you have to have courage, because all those who believe what God has said in his word are put to test many times in the world as you go through your everyday life. There'll be things that people will question you about, and things that they'll try to cast doubt on what you believe. And we believe what God said as we see it in his word. And so that's what we want to do, is hold on to that. Now, Israel were the people originally called out by God from the book of Genesis chapter 12. And they didn't even do everything perfectly right themselves. We recall last week's message. We were talking about some of the things dealing with Israel. And we looked in Malachi chapter number 1. Remember that? It says, Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. So God said it was about the attitude of those people. They were both born out of the same family line, but Esau's attitude was against God. He had an anti-God attitude, where Jacob had a pro-God attitude, even though he didn't do everything perfectly himself. Because later on, he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that I am the Lord your God, and I change not. That's the standard that lets us know we can have faith in God. He says, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I could consume all of you if it had to do with your behavior. And I'm happy that really doesn't. Now, it doesn't mean that we're licensed to do bad. It just means that it's not because of our behavior that God saves us. And I'm happy about that, because I don't do everything perfect. You know, I don't know if there's any witness in the house. How many of y'all live perfectly and do everything perfectly right? And I'll just ask the question. You don't have to raise your hand. But I'm up here to say that I don't. And I'm sorry that I don't. I have a grief in my heart about the fact that I don't. I would love to be able to do everything perfect. You know, in the new kingdom, when God really fully liberates you and the completion of your salvation is done, that you will be able to be perfect. God is going to make you perfect. That time is coming. But we live in a world where we're challenged with other people who don't trust God at all. And sometimes they don't want you to discuss God or believe him at all. Right? And so they even come to you about it. But Isaiah was talking to the Israelites, who at that time, basically, and you'll notice he still uses the same form here. He says, as we look at our text, Isaiah 40, 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Now, see, people say, that's what people say. Now, he's talking to Jacob. Jacob's been in the grave for centuries by the time this is written by Isaiah. But he's still talking to the seed of Jacob. You see what I'm saying? Isaiah did not live at the time Jacob lived. And neither did Malachi, who mentioned him on last week. This is why I'm putting this to your attention this week. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob? And speakest thou, O Israel? See that? It's Israel was Jacob's name after he wrestled with God and prevailed. And the 12 tribes came to be known as Israel because they were of the seed of Jacob, who was of the seed of Isaac, who was of the seed of Abraham. See what I'm saying? And so he's still talking to that nation that came forth that he called, who didn't exist prior to his calling Abraham. And so he uses the metaphoric term Jacob and Israel here as he discusses it in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. And this is what they say. My way is hid from the Lord. God doesn't see all the stuff I'm doing. You know what? God does. And my judgment is passed over. Just because you let me go on doesn't mean God hasn't seen it. So he says, why do you say that? Why do you say these kind of things, Jacob? You think I'm not here overseeing who you are and what you do? Hast thou not known, he asked the question, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God is off your charts. You know, he knows everything. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Haven't you heard? Where would you hear that? In his word? He said, I am the Almighty God, and besides me there is no other. Then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, I slipped over to Peter. Let me back up here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Here in verse 28, he says, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. In other words, he has no loss or lack of power. There's no searching of his understanding. He's all science, we say, omniscient. And that means he knows everything. He giveth power to the faint. He is the one who empowers those who are faint. In other words, you have trouble, you feel like you're about to break down because of the pressures of life in the world. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. See, when you're weary and weak, God says, I'm the one who gives you power. See, even the youth, he says, young people shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. So everybody has trouble sometimes with the weight of the world, the pressures of this life on them. But he says here, now notice this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No matter what pressure, no matter what condition you're under, no matter how you feel like you're at the end of your rope. You know, somebody said, when you get to the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hold on. Because if it's God who's at the other end of your rope, he's going to pull you on up. You see what I'm saying? So when we say, oh, I'm at the end of my rope, we'll just tie a knot and hold on. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See that? God is going to energize you to make the whole trip, everything he wants you to do. He says, you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. See, so no matter what you're going through, you can count on God, the everlasting God, to strengthen you in every situation that you have to deal with. And so the oppressions of life being caused by internal personal sinfulness, we have our own internal issues, as well as being externally impacted by others in the world, walking in complete unbelief, that's what you and I have to deal with every day, whether intentionally or incidentally, produces even for the family of the faithful an intense anxiety powered by many increasingly negative powers which work against the constitution of sound faith in an unchanging, omnipotent, omnipresent God. All the stuff in your life pressures you against your trust in God. You want to trust God, and people tell you all kinds of things, you know. Your employer might be on you about stuff. You have all kinds of folks who don't believe who are in your life, maybe even in your own family. And pressures come to you from outside yourself by the world and sometimes even from in your own self by doubts. We have doubts and worries and fears on the inside. And all these things are things that you have to learn to trust in the Lord in order to deal with it. But as the scripture says, you realize God knows where you are. Whatever you're dealing with, God knows it. And you know what? He loves you. And one thing I wanted to say, and I started on this morning in Sunday school, is that you basically have to learn to trust God no matter what you're dealing with. Realize he loves you. He has spared you. He sustained you. And he wants to improve you and make you better. He loves you just like you are. He's not saying, okay, Douglas, when you get it together, then come and see me. He's not saying that. See, he said, however you are right now, I love you. I made you, but I want you to be free. And I want you to freely embrace me because you love me back. Because you understand that I love you. You understand I love you so much, I settle your whole account at one time. At the beginning, even before we ever start to have a close relationship with one another. You can come out of the depths of whatever depravity that you might be dealing with. You can be totally strung out on dope. God wants you to come to him today, right now, just like you are. You can be strung out on lust, whatever it is. God wants you to come to him just like you are today. You can be stuck on money and greed and covetousness, no matter what it is. God wants you to turn your life over to him and come to me right now. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me teach you. Just come to me so I can teach you. No matter where you're coming from, no matter how long you've been in that state, come to me. And he says, I'll give you rest. And what are you going to rest from? Being worried and being weary, being tired, being wondering, as God, am I acceptable to God? You know, you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding if you just give your life over to the Lord. He's given his son. Look how much God invested in our lives spiritually. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified to pay the bill for whatever I owe and whatever you owe. See, and don't ignore the cross. That's what's wrong with the world now. That's the reason we're in the mess we're in, is people want to ignore what God has done. And God has made it the most famous news on the planet. And what do they say? Well, we can't talk about that. Let's put the Bible out of the middle of everything. We don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. It's the best news in the universe. That God loves you just like you are. He gave his son to be crucified, mauled on the cross. And it's in the history books, not only in the Bible. Read any good history book. You can read about the Roman Empire and what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also find out that the tomb was empty when they went there on the third day morning. And if it wasn't empty, there wouldn't be any church. But the fact that the tomb was empty lets you know that what God said is true. And so that's where you need to park right there. That's where I'm parked. I'm parked right there. I'm in God's drive-in, beholding what he put on the screen. I'm parked right there, and that's where you need to be. Don't let the world push you away from the only place of peace on the planet, and that is to know that you're right with God. See, so those who wait upon the Lord, sometimes when the world pressures you, you have to realize that if you wait on God, he says he'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. That sounds like you're not tired now, doesn't it? You will run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. He'll give you the strength to make it through whatever you're dealing with. And so when the world oppresses us, remember that God is always there and he never changes. If he gave his son, that means I'm willing to settle your account in full. Why? Because not that I'm letting you go. I didn't let you go. I punished my son so I don't have to punish you. See, because I knew you didn't have what I require. See, and I love you that much, I'm giving my son so that you know I love you that much. And I'm giving it to him because he's the only human being who is qualified and able to take my wrath, and it won't destroy him. See, that's what happened when Christ was on the cross. The wrath of God was poured out upon him. Not only just the wrath of God, but the wrath of man, the wrath of Satan, the wrath of his own people and their ignorance against him, just as he predicted. He took all of that, and he was the only one who could ever take all of that. Nobody else could take it. There isn't a soul that's ever been born or ever will be born who could take being forsaken of God. See, none of us could do it. No one else can do it. No one else ever did it. No one else ever will. But it has been done once and for all, and it was done for you. That's the great news. And so if you trust in him, realize what he went through in order to make me and you his children. That's how much he loved you. And you know what? It's always total freedom. I have to put a pin right here. You and I, God doesn't want you in bondage. You're already in bondage if you don't know him. He's trying to free you to get you back. And he'll let you go into bondage. You know why? Because he's the God of freedom. That's why you see the world like it is. People are free to do whatever they want. See? But you know what? They're going to also be accountable for whatever they choose. And in the middle of what they're doing, God has given his son. And that fact is out there. And what is the privilege And it should be the pleasure of the church to tell the world, God has done this for you. He loves you, and he paid your bill. He allowed Jesus to take the entire wrath for all your sin at one moment in time, made him the most famous person in history. You can set him aside if you want. You have the freedom to do that, but it's not going to be to your best benefit. If you receive him, the Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. If you accept Christ, born again. See, now you're adopted into his family. He makes you his own child, his own son or his own daughter. See, and then this is the problem, though. We have a problem with humility, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But what I want you to see is, as we recognize that this has been the routine pattern of the fallen world, which is headed for self-destruction, self-chosen destruction, because they know about the gospel, they just choose to ignore it. People know about it. You can't say you don't know about it. Doesn't make any difference who you are. I've named some people. I'm not going to name Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump or any of those folks. Leave them out of it. But they know about it. Bill Maher, he was born in 56. I found out somebody gave me a thing for my birthday. He was born the same year I was. He is a total unbeliever. He professes it publicly that he is an atheist. And I pray for his soul. He said, well, I don't need you to pray for my soul. That's the kind of stuff he said. Well, okay, I'm going to pray for your soul anyway, because God wants me to pray for you, because he gave his son for you. See, and so that's where I'm at. It doesn't make any difference if you're Vladimir Putin. We can start naming people. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into his kingdom. And he has made it famous in all the world. And the world suppresses it because, and they even scour and look down on people like me who believe it. So as we recognize that this has become the routine pattern of the fallen world, which is headed for self-chosen destruction against the will of a loving God who has made himself known in all generations by the display of his mighty hand, and in these last days through the revelation of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Messiah, whom he has made famous in all the earth to declare his great love, that's why God did it, we have need to remember his perfect credentials during times of affliction so that we do not fret, regardless of whatever we may be going through, and even how tragic things may be or may seem on the surface. You and I should not ever fret. That's why the Bible says so many times, fret not yourselves because of evildoers, neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity. See, God is allowing them space to repent. You already understand what God requires. And if you walk by faith, you have to be encouraged. That's why this message is called Families Walking in the Courage of Faith. It takes great courage to embrace the truth, regardless of what the culture around you says. I have to say, I believe God. Doesn't make any difference who's in the White House or who's in City Hall. Doesn't make any difference who's in Jeff City. Doesn't make any difference who's in the Kremlin. We can go around the planet. Doesn't make any difference. Why? Because the Most High God, who is the king of the earth and the world and everything in it and the universe, has given his son. So I don't care who's up there. That doesn't mean I'm not going to vote. I'm going to vote. It's a hard decision this year. I'm going to tell you now, because I said this before, I can't believe these are the two best Americans that we have to operate the country. Are you kidding me? That right there is proof we need Jesus. We need Jesus bad when we look up here and see who we got running. You know what? But my trust is not in them. And they can get up there. You know what? There was somebody worse than them in office when Jesus was crucified. Can you imagine being the president and God's son came in your midst and you allowed them to find him guilty and crucify him? Come on now. Wow. You know, they can't do anything worse than what's already happened. But what was worse for the world is actually the best, because God gave his son and he knew what they were going to do. So you don't think he knows what's going on up there in D.C.? He knows. You think he knows what's going on over at the Kremlin or down in Australia, name somewhere on the planet? He knows. You know what? He raises up kingdoms, the Bible says, and he sets them down. Whenever he's ready, he can set it down. He's been doing it all the time, all the way from the garden. So that is the God who you serve. And so you need to go there and rest. Sometimes we get a little flustered. I'm almost done. Because this is why we need this text here from Peter. Peter says here, humble yourselves. You know, we get a little feisty sometimes. Sometimes we get a little high and lifted up ourselves. Peter said, that's not the right way. Don't go that way. That's what took the world where they are. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. See that? And that he may exalt you in due time. You know, there is a due time for your exaltation. God has it planned already. There's a time you're going to rise up out of whatever it is you're dealing with. You're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. There is a time of exaltation for you. You know what you have to do? Humble yourself in the meantime. Humble means doesn't mean I'm weak. It means I believe God and I trust him no matter what pressure is put on my life. I'm going to stay in trust and in faith. I'm going to walk in the courage of faith because I can be different. I don't care if you don't like me. I care kind of because God cares if you don't like him. You know, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. You know, you may not like me, but I'm here for you and I've given my son for you. And this is all I want you to know. But I'm so into freedom, I'll let you do anything, whatever you want to do. But I've given you the truth. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Freedom comes from knowing the truth. See, so you and I have to be dedicated to knowing the truth. And then you can stand up under the pressure of culture, society, your own pride, whatever it is that might take you out of God's way. And you can have courage to keep walking by faith. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is all you have to do. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There is a time. I like that fact that says in due time. There's a due time when God's going to lift you up and use you for whatever he made you for. See that? You know what? David went a long time running from the enemy. We talked about this. It was Saul. He was the king. He was in charge. The people picked him because they like how he looked. Oh, he looks so good. He's going to make us look good. Look at him. He's tall, head and shoulders above everybody. Oh, he's tall, dark, and handsome, baby. We got to vote for him. And they got him, and he was a loser. And then God said, no. You know, he gave instructions what to do. He didn't do it. I ain't thinking about God. I ain't studying you, God. I went and I did some of what you said, but Samuel said, well, what? I thought he said, wipe out all those sheep. What is this I hear, the bleeding of the sheep? He said, oh, we say the best for God. Oh, you did. No, God told you, get rid of them. And you didn't do it. He told you, don't you know obedience is better than sacrifice and to heed than the fat of rams? See, don't you know that the rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft? Wow, you don't do what you want. You don't cut the mustard the way you want to do it. You do what God said. And because of that, God has taken away your anointing and you will not be the king anymore. That's what Samuel had to tell Saul. And then he sent him to anoint David, little David, the shepherd boy. Most unlikely character to ever rule Israel in his whole life. Little boy out in the back. He went through all the big, tall, beautiful sons of Jesse. And Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen them. Don't you have another son somewhere? Yeah, that's nothing but David. He's out there with the stinking sheep out in the back. Go get him. Bring him in here. Went out there, brought him in. This is him. The Lord has chosen him, anointed him with oil. He is the king of Israel. What? Boy, that blew everybody away. Little David? Oh, Lord. And Saul hated it. So I said, I'm getting rid of you, boy, whatever it takes. And he set himself against him, you see? And David fled. He ran. You know, he had opportunity that he could have taken Saul a number of times. But he said, you know, it is written, touch not the Lord's anointed, neither do his prophets any harm. So he said, I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to have courage because in a due time, God is going to exalt me, put me exactly where I belong. He knows where you belong. You might be going through some stuff right now that you've never been through before in your life. You might not understand, how is this going to really help me out? Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. You know, there is a time for your exaltation. That's what I want you to understand. Notice this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for you to get your foot in some trap so he can take you out. See, whom resist is what Peter's recommendation is. Steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All the saints are going through trouble, just like you. So don't think it's just you. The devil will tell you, oh, it's only you. You're the only one with that problem. No, you're not. Everybody in the church has struggles. We got things we're going through. But learn to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, what does that mean? In other words, allow God's word and his spirit and his word to guide you and lead you. Have the courage to walk by faith, in spite of the pressures that might be on your life from anywhere else. Look at the fact that God's track record is proof enough to us to learn to pray ourselves into humility. You may have to pray and ask God. We're not going to be humble on our own. It's something we lack. It's not a normal human quality. You know, it's something we have to ask God. God, help me. I need help. You know, I am whack. Just be truthful. Tell God exactly what the case is. I got some stuff in me that's not right. You are the one who can fix it. That's why I love the Lord's table when we come there. I've never been here and never had something I didn't need to discuss with God that I need help with this, Lord. I can't handle it. See, that's humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and know that he is going to exalt you in due time. And here, notice his track record is great. Look what he did for you already. Maybe he didn't do nothing for nobody in here. He helped me a lot. He helped me a whole lot. He brought me a mighty long way. He really has. And I know he's not done yet. See, so check on that and realize so that we can accept our circumstances, because we are aware that God has promised to see us through any and every situation we have to face, even the most foreboding of all, which is death. How many times has death rocked your apple cart? Maybe not yours, somebody else's. Cut you to your souls. Like, wow, oh my God. Well, you know what? He's got the solution to death. And you have to have the courage to say, God, you don't make mistakes. And I'm going to stay in faith no matter what happens. Even death in my family, somebody I love closely, whatever the case is. Oh no! And think about this. It is he who has raised Jesus from the grave so that you don't even have to really worry about it. But you have to have the courage and to have faith to believe that this is what God has done. And the reason he did it is so that you don't have to suffer like those that don't have hope. There's people who are hopeless in the world that don't understand it at all. You and I don't have to suffer. That's why Paul said, comfort ye one another with these words. The fact that God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's defeated the grave. He's defeated death. He's defeated the devil. He's defeated hell. He's defeated sin. God has defeated everything that you have to worry about. That's why he raised Jesus out of the grave, so that we who believe in him may enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. You don't even know where it comes from. If you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagle. It'll give you the ability to walk in courage. Somebody sang a song. It's not necessarily a Christian song, but I think we need to get with it. I believe I can fly. Now, that's not a Christian song, but you know what? I believe I can fly. You know, I believe I can touch the sky, he said. You know, that's not a Christian song, but Lord said, I'm going to mount up with wings as eagles. I'm going to run and not be weary. I'm going to walk and not faint. So I believe it. I believe God is able in due time to exalt you and bring you up where you believe. I'm glad Peter wrote that in there. You know, look at it one more time just so you can get this in your spirit. What did he say there? He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There is a due time. God's going to exalt you. That's why he calls you. He calls you to exalt you. Have you thought about it? There is a due time that you'll be exalted. And it doesn't, I'm not like looking forward, oh, God exalt me so I can be all that. No, but he's going to bring you up out of the situation you're in and bless you with what you really want and what he wants it to be by your own choice. God struggles with us. He just like he struggled with Jacob. Remember that? The Bible says he wrestled with Jacob. You know, and he was just trying to get Jacob to understand, I'm on your side. Just like you with me for. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I can't imagine how that thing went. You know, it's getting to be morning time. Ain't you going to let me go? No, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he touched him in the socket of his thigh. See, in other words, dislocated his hip. Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his days. He was under some great stress. His own kids had stomached him, if you don't mind if I use that word.
His kids took his youngest son and sold him into slavery, told him he was dead. Can you imagine that? Well, that's mean. That's evil. That's evil. My favorite son, Joseph. Now, we're not supposed to have favoritism. We had to talk about that on another lesson. But he thought Joseph was dead. Can you imagine what a heartbreaker that was for Jacob? Wow, my favorite son is dead. And y'all brought me the coat I made him that you hated because I gave him this coat of many colors, covered with blood. And I don't know that it's not, he's not dead. He's not here. I haven't seen him. And it was like years later before he ever reunited with his son. It was to the point that when he seen him, it was like a resurrection from the dead. Like, wow, that's Joseph. Can you imagine that if you saw somebody you thought was dead? See, years later, you've been thinking all your life, oh, you've been heartbroken, you've been put down, and now you see him, here he is, matured, and he's fully alive, and all is well, and he went to Egypt to make things ready for this time, and we would come together, and all that. Think about the breakthrough that he must have felt. See, and this was before he died. See, so he was exalted in due time. He went through some things that really oppressed him a lot of time in his life. And at the end of it, he found out God already had this in control. That's the way it is with you. You got stuff in your life. God has it in control. You don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. Looks a little gray over here, a little dark over there. God has your exaltation in mind. He can deliver you. He's the only one that can do it. So I want to just take a minute here if we make preparation to close. And if you're not saved, I want to invite you to pray and ask God to be your Savior. He's been waiting on you to ask. Does it make any difference how old you are, how young you are? No difference whatsoever. Just ask Him to save you. He'll do it. He wants to. It's His good pleasure to save you. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. We understand that you gave Him and made Him famous around the planet. Really, there isn't hardly anyone on the planet that doesn't know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if it's only by the date, the fact that it's 2016, 2016 years since His first coming, there's a reason we ought to check into who He is and why is the world configured around Him. And Lord God, we come to understand today that you gave Him in order to pay for our sin, that you could allow Him to be punished instead of us, that you could wash us from every sin, from every unbelief, every disobedience, every transgression. And you heaped all your judgment upon Him while the world was also against Him. Lord God, and the disciples were bewildered. They didn't understand how can this person that we believe is God, the Messiah, be crucified. It was heartbreaking. See Him hang there, bleed and die. They went and hid, Lord God. And sometimes we don't understand. So today, Lord, we come as humble as we can, Lord, ask you to save us. Cleanse us from all sin, Father. We understand that only you can do that. No one else can do it. Jesus paid it all, as the songwriter said. And we trust in Him alone. It's not by works that we have done or anything of that sort, Lord. It's only by your grace through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And the fact you raised Him out of the grave gives us great hope, Lord, because we have all lost loved ones and we're concerned about them, Lord, and it just broke our heart. But if they were saved, we know they're going to be with us, and we'll see them again, Lord. Kind of like Jacob seeing his son again after all those years, and he thought he was dead. And so, Lord God, we ask you to bless us with salvation today. Help us, God, be the men and women you have called us to be. We thank you for being there for us, Lord, throughout our days. Thank you for the freedom of relief and just the ability to choose you, Lord. And you want us to do it on our own, not that we'll be under any force or pressure. So, Father, we come today humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, asking you to save us, oh God. Cleanse our minds, our hearts, our lives. Thank you for blessing our family. Thank you for raising Jesus out of the grave so that we can all have a hope that passes all understanding. And we give you the honor and the praise today, Lord God. And we ask this all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. It's in His name we pray. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We also like to just take a moment at this time to ask if there's anyone here that would like to become a member of St. Timothy MB Church. We are a growing church. We seem to have shifts that come. Look like there's shifts here. Some people are here to come in shifts. I don't know why that works that way. It seems to be that way at other churches. too. But if you are here and you would like to be a member, we invite you to come aboard. At this time, we have great plans for this assembly. And we're doing a lot of stuff here, guys. We've been working on the inside for a couple of years. And so now we're going to be doing a project on the outside. That's kind of what God does. He works on the inside and gets you cleaned up on the inside. And then he will give you a new face on the outside. Amen. And so, but if you're here and you want to be a member, we invite you to come at this time and make that known. And as you see, we have rolled out the red carpet for you for a while here, at least. And we want to give you that opportunity. So while you're here in the house of the Lord, amen. We see that there are none. We've done as God commands. We see that there are none. But yet there is room. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.
Amen. And once again, we want to take a minute to...